Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power with Donna Sebo. Well, we're going to be talking about a very special person, and this is an individual that I know all of you are aware of. He is a man that was renowned not only for style, but for being able to convey, I guess what we call, the image of an American male in a very, very special way. Who am I talking about? Gary Cooper. This was an actor that touched the lives of millions of people around the world. And we are privileged to have as a guest today his daughter. His daughter, Maria Cooper Janis, is a woman that has put together an absolutely elegant book honoring her father. It's titled Gary Cooper, Enduring Style. And from New York City, we welcome Maria. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Donna. I'm very happy to be with you all.
When I got your book, I was absolutely stunned because this is exquisite. Not only is it just an amazing collection of photographs, which I'm assuming many of them have never been seen by the public before, and the story about your dad, and you have this wonderful foreword by Ralph Lauren. Maria, how long did it take you to put this book together? Because I know that you and your dad had a special relationship. What brought all of this together for you?
Well, we were, I think the unsung hero of this book is really my mother, because she was a very, very good shutterbug. She took a lot of photographs, and as you say, I would say three-quarters of these pictures have never been seen before. They have been residing in our family photograph albums, which my mother kept and labeled, and, you know, they were all chronological, and she was really terrific with the camera. So it's an amazing history, really, from the time just before they were married, which was 1933, until my father's death in 1961. I was talking with a friend one day, and I realized that so many books have been written about Gary Cooper, about all aspects of his life and career and his personal life, etc. But this one aspect of him has never been looked at or discussed, which was simply his lifestyle, his sense of good taste, sense of elegance, both in how he lived, how he dressed, the choices he made in the variety of the mundane things that we all do in our life, but he seemed to do them with a certain flair and a certain sense of ease and grace, and that quality is very much part of what Gary Cooper's nature was, as well as the person who you see on the screen. So I thought, you know, hopefully I could do something, and met a friend, actually through a mutual friend, a man named Peter Levinson, who introduced me to Bruce Boyer, who's written the text of this book. And Bruce has been an editor of international renown on men's fashion and style. So we happily got together, and we really had a great time doing this. We were all of a like mind.
Now, I'm going to be a little nosy. I want to know a little bit about how your dad and mom got together, because they were together for a long time, weren't they?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were married in 1933 and until his death in 1961. They were together. Well, they met, let me back up a tiny bit. My mother went to California just about at the age 18. She really wasn't much on college. And her mother just remarried. So my mother was a very independent woman. So she went to California with a chaperone, I might add, went to live with her uncle, my grandmother's brother, who was a very renowned man in Hollywood at that time already, whose name was Cedric Gibbons. And he was the art director of MGM. All the great MGM movies that you see in the 30s, 40s, into the early 50s, he was the man behind those beautiful extravaganza films and the way they looked. So my mother went, and she lived with Cedric and his then-wife, who was Dolores Del Rio, the beautiful actress.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was on a weekend boat trip to Catalina that my mother met my father. And I guess, as they say, almost the rest is history.
Well, in Hollywood, there's always this stuff that is invented. And to really find out about the real essence of a person is almost impossible, unless there has been someone that has been around that individual. The rag sheets have been around forever. Mm-hmm. And so much stuff is misinterpreted, or there was, you know, publicity. Even today, the same nonsense goes on, where it's like,
they repeat. Excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, they repeat and recycle the same PR stories that are absolutely full of nonsense.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's part of what the game is. That's how I phrase it. And I just, there are two movies that I have to share with you that were really very special in my mind that your dad was in. And the first one that I'm thinking of is The Fountainhead with Patricia Neal.
Yes.
That was a powerful movie in my mind.
Yes.
And I don't remember what year that was done.
It was done about 1949.
1949? Okay.
Something like that, 48, 49.
And that was just a very, very dramatic movie. And then there was one that I happened to see one night, and I do not know the name of it, and it was an old, old black-and-white movie, and it had to do with your dad playing the role of a lover of a very, very wealthy woman, and the husband of the woman found out that there was an affair going on between him and the movie characterization, between him and his wife. So he has Gary Cooper put in a prison, and they go to sleep, and they'd meet in the astral at night. And I just remember seeing that movie, and I'm going, wow, you mean they talked about sex then?
Do you remember who the leading lady was?
No, I don't. I don't, but it's a very, very old movie. And I thought, gee, if you know the name of that movie, I'd love to know. But
well,
your dad was so young. Just
now you've
so,
got me curious, because I don't think it's a movie that I've ever seen.
I just got lucky that one time, because I don't even think I saw the very beginning of it, but I remember the essence of it. It just blew me away, because I thought, oh my goodness, I had no idea somebody had made a movie on that. But anyway, I'm digressing. Your dad, and with these photographs, of course, Ralph Lauren talked about your dad's style. And I'm going to quote from your book. Ralph Lauren said, he had an ideal American look, unstudied yet refined, natural and playful. There was a charm about him in the way that he didn't take himself too seriously. He had that sort of aw shucks attitude. But he also had that look of quality. And he dressed to the nines. I just was so impressed, and you've got a photograph in here. It looks like this is a bull terrier. It's right at the beginning of the book. Your dad is standing in a yoga posture, it looks like.
Yes.
And he's got a zebra something
over
his shoulder and down the front. I thought, what a photograph. Did your mom have him pose for that?
Well, she didn't have him pose for it. He probably was horsing around and struck the pose himself. It would have been taken at the Gibbons' house, because they had two bull terriers. The house was designed by Cedric Gibbons, so it was quite beautiful. in
Oh, I can
itself,
imagine.
All in black and white marble, and the dogs were black and white markings, too. But
dogs matched the house, huh?
Yeah. But my father had, you know, he had been in Africa several times, and I think he had taken down a few zebras. So that's a zebra skin that he had brought back with him. And the pose is funny. On one of those trips, my father, I remember him talking about how impressed and moved he was by the Maasai. He visited several of the Maasai tribes in Africa, and he just loved their people. He loved their elegance, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he would comment how a Maasai warrior would stand for hours, actually, on end, resting on his spear with one leg resting against the inside of his thigh in the pose that's in that picture. Actually.
Oh, I didn't know that about
so
the Maasai.
That isn't a yoga picture. I mean, that isn't a yoga pose. It was really, I think, probably my father pretending to be a Maasai warrior. But I remember once he showed us that, trying that position, and my God, it's so comfortable. Your whole body core seems to shift to one position, and you're completely relaxed. I can understand why they could stand for hours, quite immobile, and just be centered, as they say in meditation. But it's an amazing physical position to put your body in, and that's what he was demonstrating in that picture.
Your body, your dad's history starts in Montana. Am I correct?
Yes, he was born in Helena in 1901.
And cowboys and Indians and wildlife, all
cowboys,
of that was very much around him.
Well, Helena in 1901 was one heck of a rough town. And, you know, when he was 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, that was where he lived. His family had a beautiful house for its time there. And then, as his father was Montana State Supreme Court judge, the family also had a ranch, and my father and his older brother, Arthur, and Alice, his mother, they would spend a lot of the time at the ranch, and the father would come back and forth on weekends when he wasn't in court. But it was it was no small trip in those days, because I think to get to the ranch today, we went to visit it, Byron and myself, a few years ago, and well, it's a good hour and a half by car
mm-hmm.
today, so you can imagine how long it took.
Wow. Now, he really had a love of art when he was going to college. He was the art editor of the college yearbook.
Yes.
His family moved to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and in 1924, he thought he wanted to be a landscape artist. How in the world did he get into movies?
He was hungry. He didn't have much change in his pocket. And it was very hard to put bread on the table with the earnings that he was able to scare up doing his artwork. And he ran into some old cowboy friends from Montana who were working as extras in the Hollywood of that day, early days. And they said, hey, you know, Coop, come on, it's we get $5 falling off a horse in front of a camera. So he thought that seemed like a pretty cool idea. And he joined them. And I guess he worked, you know, quite a bit doing that. And in the course of it, some people noticed this good-looking guy who would pick himself up off the dirt. They wanted him to do a screen test because they liked the way he looked, and that kind of started things. He was in several silent pictures, like the winning of Barbara Worth was one of the first ones. But the film which actually launched him, and it's interesting timing that you mention that, because it was a movie called Wings, and it was the first film to win an Academy Award.
Oh,
and
for heaven's sake.
And Paramount has just this week had 4 private screenings of a newly restored version of Wings. It was, of course, a silent picture. And they have a newly orchestrated music score with it. And he was on the camera exactly 90 seconds.
Wow.
It's a film made by William Wellman, who was a wonderful director, and who was a member of the Lafayette Escadrille, if any of your listeners remember or know what that was. I would urge you to look it up, because it's quite fascinating. They were the first flyers in World War I, the first airplanes, and the first battles that took place. And Wellman filmed these extraordinarily well, because he was a member of the Escadrille himself. Anyway, my father's character is a young pilot. He comes into a tent. He's eating a chocolate bar. He throws it on the bunk, and he walks out of the tent and sort of says, "See you guys." And about 15 seconds later, you see the shadow of a plane go over the tent, and then you hear a crash. So you know he's been killed. Well, so many people wrote into the studio, "Who was that young pilot who got killed?"
Amazing.
Because his look was so intense and very special. And they that kind of got the producer's attention, and then his career really sort of started.
Now, in 1931, he ends up going to Europe. He goes to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going over because he had been invited. Am I remembering correctly that
Correct.
He wanted to get away because things were happening in Hollywood so fast that he really wanted to figure out if this is where he wanted to be.
Well, and I think he was exhausted too. He was just, they've been working him pretty steadily, and I think he just needed to get a bit of a breather.
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He did go to Italy, and he escorted a very sort of social, international woman named Countess de Frasso, and saw some of the fine Italian high life of that era. And then he came back to the United States. I think he figured he'd better get back to the studio, or else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what happened.
Well, and then you came along not too long after your mom and dad got married in 1933, and you've got some adorable photographs of yourself with your dad and a number of them about your mom. I mean, there's really some fabulous, fabulous pictures in here.
She's a wonderful...
How much time you actually were able to enjoy with your dad? What it was like? What was it like growing up with a star for a father?
Well, I think I got very, very lucky because I never had the trip laid on me that my father was a star. I mean, he was so natural at home; it wasn't anything. Oh, I'm a big movie actor kind of thing. You know, he was,
mm-hmm.
was just my father. And we did a lot of things together as a family, which was, I was very fortunate. You know, togetherness, I guess it sounds like a cliche, but we really were very, very involved together with a lot of things, be it sports activities or, you know, museums or traveling, whatever. And, you know, my family would take me out of school when they went up to Sun Valley, Idaho, in the fall to go, because he and Ernest Hemingway were very close friends, and they would spend time up there and or skiing. So they took me out of my California school, and I went to school in Ketchum, Idaho, for a month here and a month there.
Wow!
But it was wonderful for me because I was very close to them, and as I say, we did a lot of things together, and I grew up very comfortable with their friends, who were also big stars and actors, but I didn't think of them in any other way as, these are my parents' friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have some marvelous photographs in here that your mother saved with a Pablo Picasso and
yes.
his wife,
yes.
Jacqueline Picasso.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you just, it's a beautiful photograph of you. I mean, you were a mature young lady and just gorgeous, gorgeous photo of all four of you.
Well, those photographs, the ones with Picasso, they were taken by our very close friend and a great photographer, photojournalist David Douglas Duncan. He did the famous book called This Is War on the Korean War. And then he actually lived with Picasso for about 4 or 5 years, and he produced about 5 major books on Picasso. Picasso at work, at home, painting. And David was a terribly close family friend. So it was David. That was the first time that the Coopers and the Picassos had met, in fact. And that was on the terrace of the Hotel du Cap.
Mm-hmm.
In Antibes.
Well, it's just absolutely wonderful. But like you said, the whole environment that's portrayed here is so very down to earth. And you have such marvelous photographs of him. I love him, the photo of him in his Dusseldorf, that gorgeous, gorgeous car.
The Duesenberg, you mean?
The Duesenberg, excuse me.
Yes. Yeah, that was a wonderful car. It was called the Yellow Peril. It was painted chartreuse.
Chartreuse?
Yes, yes. And I must say, I gather it caused quite a stir because my mother, who was from a very rather conservative Eastern family, and here she is racing around with Gary Cooper in this yellow car. it made everyone laugh a lot and raise their eyebrows. But it was a powerful car. I mean, she could go from 0 to 70 in a few seconds. It was really, and for the time that
this
it was, you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
One of the things that I noted, because there are so many photographs in here of Gary Cooper and being in California, and I thought so much of what was open land then, when these photos were taken, it's all gone now. This is fabulous because it shows a time frame when there wasn't, what do I want to say? There was a different, it was an entirely different world. The areas in California were not intensely populated like they are today.
Oh, absolutely.
You have the photographs in here of Sammy Davis Jr. at singing at, your home, Frank Sinatra, Eddie Fisher, Tony Curtis, Elizabeth Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful photographs.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful photographs.
Well, parties at that time, I haven't lived there now for 30, 40 years, so I can't speak with any expertise, but the friends that my parents had and the parties at that time, they were, they had, of course, a lot of black tie parties, or people
mm-hmm.
got dressed up in very beautiful, elegant ways. But there was also a relaxed air about it, and usually after dinner, any of the singers or people who played the piano, if they wanted to, everyone would gather around the piano and they'd kind of jam together. So there were these great evenings of sitting listening to Judy and Sinatra singing together, or Dinah Shore and Gordon McRae, or whoever. But it was all very, like you were having a barbecue out in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and everyone started singing. It was that kind of a relaxed atmosphere.
You even have a photo in here of your dad, Douglas Fairbanks, a number of people seated on the Queen Mary. Of course, this is 1934.
Yes.
Now, the Queen Mary is permanently stationed in, I forget the city now, but it's in California, and it's a gorgeous ship. It's absolutely amazing.
Isn't it in La Jolla or near San Diego?
I think it's near San Diego somewhere, but it is, I don't remember the exact community, but it is absolutely incredible ship. And you have all of this history. These photographs portray a time that is, I don't know that we're ever going to see the likes of it again. It's just very, very different. It was a time of style. It was a time of beauty. It was a time of Hollywood where everything was bigger than life, and you've got a photograph of Clark Gable and some other individuals. But again, too, there's this other side, like with your dad, the photographs of Gary Cooper and Ernest Hemingway in Sun Valley, Idaho, because your dad liked to hunt, and your mother apparently was a pretty good shot, too.
She would never kill anything, though. She would never,
No, but he would never kill.
But she was this wonderful skeet shot. In fact, she became California Women's State Ski Champion.
Wow.
She put some of my father's buddies to shame on the ski field, and he adored it. You know, she would shoot circles around the guys, which was great fun.
Well, it was, but your mom really had such an independent spirit, and it just seemed like it would balance so well with him, because I think he had that same kind of independent spirit. I think that came across on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it did.
And again, I remember the Fountainhead.
And
to me, that was something that he conveyed with such
and that was
clarity.
Really rather an atypical role for him, actually. You know, I mean, the philosophy that Howard Rourke, the architect, espoused was really a very, it wasn't a typical Gary Cooper persona.
But he could do it. And
he handled it.
Man,
he did it beautifully.
Oh, he did. And not only that, but there's some wonderful drawings done by your dad that you show in here.
Yeah.
And this little terrier that you've got a photo of that's dancing on its hind legs, that's just adorable. And I'm a terrier fan.
Oh, are you?
Well, you know, this has been so wonderful, Maria. Your stories about your dad, and there's so much more in the book. And the book for you, those of you listening, it's Gary Cooper, Enduring Style. If you love stories about Hollywood, if you know anything about Gary Cooper or you want to know more, this book is just going to give you a whole different perspective of him. Maria lives in New York. I think she's done a fabulous job representing her dad, and I think Bruce Boyer did a wonderful job as well. It's just first class.
Well,
Style title, it just fits it beautifully. What is your website where people can go and find out more about this, about the book?
The GaryCooper.com is the Gary Cooper website, and there, you know, there's a lot of photographs and articles and some blogs and different things there. So I would encourage people to also go there and visit it. It's there was a wonderful comment by Bill Blass, you know, the wonderful American designer.
Oh, his designs are awesome.
He loved my father, and my father loved Bill, actually. But Bill was so impressed. He said, you know, Cooper was the first man to he would do the stone washing of his blue jeans. And he would do all that himself and set them out and pound them and, get them looking weathered and worn. But I think Bill is quoted in the book as saying, he said, that Gary Cooper, he said, he's the best-looking son of a bitch I've ever seen. but it's funny. But, you know, the important thing is what the person was as a human being. And that's what I hope the book also conveys.
I think it does. And I think it conveys it pictorially in a magnificent way. And, of course, the stories are just awesome. Maria, I know your schedule is a busy one. We are out of time. For those of you listening, check out GaryCooper.com and check out Gary Cooper, Enduring Style. The book is awesome. And if you love Hollywood, if you love finding out about the golden years and other things, you're not going to want to miss this. This is just absolutely gorgeous. Maria, thank you.
Well,
very
Donna,
much.
Thank you very much. The book is available on Amazon, that I know. So if
wonderful.
Anyone is interested, that's an easy way to get it. Thank you so much, Donna. I really appreciate the chance to chat with you.
You're more than welcome. Maria Cooper, Janice, and Gary Cooper, Enduring Style. Go to GaryCooper.com. You can also check out on Amazon. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Wherever you are, I hope you're just having a great time and that the weather is being sweet and nice for you. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we had snowstorms, we've had ice, we've had freezing rain, and we have had so much snow here that trees were splitting and, you know, it was a one slushy mess yesterday afternoon, all kinds of ice. But now it's raining, so our snow is disappearing very quickly, but I can't say that I mind that. Hey, I want to let you know about what's coming up next week. Oh, before I do that, if you want to give me a buzz today, call me at 888-627-6008, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. That's 888-627-6008. Boy, next week we just have an absolutely... Well, how can I say it? An absolutely incredible week. We're going to be talking about Agatha Christie on Monday. Yes. We will be calling a fascinating man, Mr. Curran, who is a known historian, and he's in Ireland. And on Monday, we're going to be talking to him about how he found this trunk full of material that has been just stored away for years. All of Agatha Christie's diaries. So if you're an Agatha Christie fan, I love her stories, and I like the characters, Miss Marple and Hercule Poirot, the little penguin-type man. I like all of that. So we're going to find out more about Agatha Christie on Monday. And then Jeffrey Abigail, stranger to myself. This is a young man who has gone through some extraordinary experiences because of drug use. And it's quite an interesting perspective on what can happen to people, and he's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. So we've been talking to him, and then we're going to be talking about innovation for the 21st century with Michael Carrier, And this is just a whole different twist on thinking about this 21st century that we live in and the changes that are evolving. And then Stop Crying and Listen to the Music. Gary Nassif is going to be our guest. We'll be playing some of his music. He has had a great deal of success in Las Vegas, but this is also about his story. He apparently was quite a stutterer, and he had a very difficult time with this. We'll be talking about his life and his experiences and more. And then on the 27th, we are going to be talking with Cliff Fazzolari about some very special things regarding his brother, some experiences that he had that I believe are going to be quite interesting to you. So we've got a very interesting lineup for next week, so I hope you'll be able to join us. Meanwhile, if you want today, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Well, because of the winter we have been experiencing here in the Pacific Northwest, and for those of you who might be listening, for in the northern areas where these cold weather fronts are coming in and you've got all kinds of stuff happening, of course, you've got to be prepared. And we lost power for a while. In fact, we still cannot get the Internet. The system is totally down. And that's because of trees falling and disrupting cable lines and freezing temperatures affecting things that are underground. All of this goes in. So you want to be sure that you have candles, that you have flashlights. I have one of these lanterns that has they have particular bulbs that really give a lot of illumination. And they're battery operated. But it's important to be prepared because we've had people here in the Pacific Northwest that have been without power since Tuesday. So this is something that can happen dependent on where you are located as to how quickly power will be restored. So make sure you take those precautions. Winter has his or her own temperament, and you've got to be sure that you're not caught off guard. So having water, if you've got a fireplace, having enough wood, being able to keep yourself warm and those that you love warm as well. And we've had some wonderful neighbors that have helped people out because they didn't have, any place to go, or they didn't have heat in their home. So this is something that we can always do. Also, you might want to get some of the flameless candles. There are these candles are called pillar candles. You can check them out at christmaslightsetc.com, but better yet, go to your local hardware store. See if they have any of those flameless candles that you can use. But you want to make sure you've got adequate batteries. And then if you lose electricity like we did, boy, it is just the pits. So if you end up, your cell phone is going to be your only way of keeping in touch with people. You've got to make sure you have a charger. Now, there are chargers you can buy where you turn the crank and you can generate enough energy to be able to keep your cell phone charged. And that is something to consider. And by the way, if you're going to have a generator, be very aware of how you run that generator. Make sure that you have it out in a place that's not going to cause a hazard to your home, because you don't want to end up causing problems if yours is gas run or propane run. You don't want any of those fumes to be in your house. Here in the state of Washington, quite often people who are not familiar with how to run that generator, they have it closed in their garage or someplace where it's not out in the fresh air, so to speak, and the fumes get into the home. And people die because of carbon monoxide poisoning. So you don't want to do this. And by the way, you want to be careful when you're driving. I can't tell you how many ding-dongs were out in the ice and snow yesterday and didn't have a clue about how to manage your vehicle. And so you've got to be thoughtful. Don't be in a hurry. Just make sure that you take your time wherever you're going to go. And you want to be sure you maximize your visibility. And here's a tip. If you want to keep your windows and mirrors on the outside of your car, you want to clear. And I know mine were encrusted with ice yesterday. Didn't take long for the ice to fall away. But if you want to keep your glass on your vehicle clear, use a water repellent to your windows and mirrors on the outside of the car. Now, what happens? It coats the glass and causes moisture to form droplets and they'll quickly fall off. Now, you can get Rain-X Original Glass Treatment, and you can get them just about any of your automotive stores and Kmart. And be sure that if you haven't replaced your windshield wipers, that you do it, because they should be replaced at least every 2 years. And remember, if you skid, move in the direction, move your steering wheel in the opposite direction of whichever way you turned it. It automatically points your tires in the direction of the skid, helping them to regain their traction. And it doesn't hurt practicing this. You don't want to wait until the last minute. But be wise. I know what that is like when you're stuck on ice and, by golly, all of a sudden the car starts having its own ballet dance that you don't particularly wish to have it do. So you just be patient. Don't be in a hurry. And remember, if you're going to be outside, you want to be sure that you bundle up. And something I was not aware of, I know that when you're out in the cold, your body burns a lot more calories. And if you're going to go outside shoveling snow, I heard someone make a suggestion, have a little bit of something to eat. Now, that sounds a little strange, but the carbs and the fats are very, very important. And you want to make sure that you remember to drink liquids, because when you're in the cold, you dehydrate. And I can tell you that's a fact. And your body, that's one of the reasons why people have a tendency to put on pounds during the winter, because if you're out in extreme cold, your body wants to have insulation. And I know this from spending many, many years traveling in the far north up to Alaska. And there is, people are not as active as their forefathers were out in the snow. They're not out there chopping wood and doing things like that. But if you go out in the snow, if you go out in the real, real cold temperatures, your body does dehydrate extremely quickly. It's a real interesting thing. So bundle up. If you have little ones, remember to cover their ears because they can get frostbite very easily. There's just so many things I've learned through the years in my travels. And you really have to pay attention. And lots of times if you're in the city and you've not been in severe cold, you just think, oh, well, nothing's going to affect me or bother me. But the cold does leach a lot of energy out of you. That's why people that worked up on the North Slope in Alaska could consume up to 10,000 calories a day, just like the people that go mountain climbing. They have to constantly remember to have something to eat, like chocolate, things that have fat in them, because the body requires that. And it enables you to survive. It's a reality of life. So do take care of yourself. And if you are in a locale like I am right now, and we're having rain and big clumps of stuff are falling off the roof, branches are falling, stay inside. Don't go decide that you're going to go out and do a 15-mile hike, because it's not so safe. So just use good common sense. I don't want you to miss out on the good things of the show and miss out on good things in life. So safety first and be wise. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. I've got a wonderful recipe to share with you and a story or two. And if you want to chat, I'm here too for that. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, I have the Chinese horoscope, and I'm going to be talking about the horse and the sheep, so I'll get into that in just a minute. But before I do, quickly, tomorrow I have a live radio interview with Deborah Scott. This is part of a motivation marathon, and anybody can be a part of this if they want. You've got some wonderful people speaking. I'm going to be on with Deborah from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can go in to motivationmarathon.com. And you can hear the show live, and you can call in if you like. Also, tomorrow evening, those of you in Western Washington, the snow is going to be all gone by tomorrow, and I am still going to be speaking at the Ascension and Delight Foundation Center. This is an inspirational event where I and three other speakers are going to be sharing very positive perspectives for 2012. My topic is mind dynamics, and I'll also be doing demonstration of mind skills. Admission is $20 per person. The time is 7 to 9 in the evening. The doors open at 6:30. Location, 1222 South Weller Street in Seattle, 98144. Now, if you need more information, call Melanie at 206-356-6356. That's 206-356-6356. And then next week, I'm so excited about this class, Quantum Mind 2. The first one was so successful, Quantum Mind 1, that we're putting on a second one. Robert Newman and myself will be giving you the opportunity to explore and discover your own unique mind talents, and you'll become aware of how you can empower prosperity and positive directioning in your professional and personal life. It's being held at Bridgeport Place, and this is at 5250 Bridgeport Way West at University Place. Time is going to be 10 a.m. to 4. Lunch is going to be served. Fee is $59.95. And if you want to reserve a spot, we have a few left. Please call me, 253-582-5604, to reserve your spot. 253-582-5604. And February 10, 11, and 12, I'm going to be in California. I'm going to be at the Conscious Life Expo. The event takes place at the Airport Hilton near LAX, and you're not going to want to miss this. Speakers from around the country will be giving free presentations on all kinds of topics. I'll be speaking on Friday the 10th at 4 in the afternoon. I'll also be in booth 704 giving many consultations, also reviewing book materials from prospective authors. Now, if you want to check out for more information on the Conscious Life Expo, go to their website, consciouslifeexpo.com. And you'll find out why this is such an exciting event. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008. Okay, Chinese horoscope. This is something, the Chinese New Year. This is just a lot of fun. We're going to take the sign of the horse. Now, in Chinese horoscope fashion, animals are assigned to years. So the sign of the horse is 1930, 42, 54, 66, 78, 90, or 2002. Now, if you're born in the year of the horse, friends, well, they're easy for you to make. You are upbeat, you have a wonderful attitude, and you really believe in encouraging other people. You like to motivate them. You like to inspire them. So what's in store for you this year? You are going to have the time to travel, number one. You're going to really be giving good attention to yourself. Relaxation is going to be part of your agenda. And you are going to find that you have to focus on yourself. You're going to take many vacations, perhaps, but you feel like you are going to need to become more aware of who you are and what you want to do with your life. So, this is a sign Oprah, or the year that Oprah Winfrey was born in. She was born under the sign of the horse. Halle Berry, Denzel Washington, Christine Stewart, Katie Holmes. So you're in good company. You're going to enjoy that. For those of you who were born in 1931, 43, 55, 67, 79, or 91, also 2003, your sign is the sign of the sheep. Now, you are like a Gary Cooper. You have style. You really know how to dress to the nines. You also really like to care for people and to nurture the best in them. And you enjoy get-togethers. Family, whether that family includes friends, it doesn't make any difference. You love to get together with people and have a good time. So, for some reason, this year, you feel like you want to give back in some way. So you may volunteer, and you are going to feel like this is a part of your life that you want enriched. And this is something for you that I think is going to empower you in surprising ways. You really do like to know that you can make a difference in people's lives, and that's very important. Now, some famous people, Nicole Kidman, Reba McEntire, what a doll, Julia Roberts, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, well, that's a few of the people that were born under the sign of the sheep. So that's a couple more for you, and I wanted to give you a quick recipe here that I just think is yummy. If you're like me, you love chicken, and lots of times we look for something that we can put together that's going to be really easy and flavorful. Well, how about chicken fingers? And this is something people love, football games. Of course, in the winter months, you're sitting around the television. And you say, oh, what can I fix? I don't want to put a lot of time into it. This is really, really easy. And this is a recipe. It's called Mitzi's Chicken Fingers. And you can find it on saveur.com, S-A-V-E-U-R, saveur.com. And they've got all kinds of recipes there. But this is really good. This will serve six people, I'd say more like three if they have hearty appetites. So you might want to double up this recipe. But there's a dipping sauce with it. Now, this is how easy it is to fix the chicken fingers. You're going to need 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breast. You want to cut them into 3 by 1 inch strips. You're going to need 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 tablespoon of kosher salt, 1 tablespoon of freshly ground pepper, 1.5 teaspoons of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of dry mustard powder, 1 cup of flour, 4 eggs, room temperature, lightly beaten, and 3 cups of finely ground fresh breadcrumbs or panko, and you need your favorite oil for frying. So this is what you do. Really, really simple. Your chicken, sugar, salt, pepper, garlic powder, paprika, mustard powder, put it in a bowl. Just mix it all up together. I'd say whisk all the seasonings. That takes you maybe 5 seconds. Put your chicken in it. Roll your chicken in it so it's totally covered. Now, your flour, your eggs, and your breadcrumbs need to go in 3 separate shallow dishes. Put those to the side. You want oil that's at least 2 inches deep in a 6-quart Dutch oven. You want to heat it over medium-high heat until your deep-fry thermometer registers 325 degrees. Now, you need to work in batches with your chicken. You'll coat your chicken in flour, shake off the excess, dip in eggs, coat in the breadcrumbs, and then put it into the hot oil. And it's going to get real crisp. It'll take about 3 minutes. And you put them on paper towels, put them in a warm oven so they stay nice and crisp. And you'll get that done. Now, you have a sauce that goes with it. And the sauce is 1.5 cups of mayonnaise, 1/4 cup of honey, 2 tablespoons of chopped dill, and 2 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of dry mustard powder, kosher salt, and a little bit of black pepper. Whisk that together, and you have got your sauce. Yum. My goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have an awesome weekend. I'll see you back here on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.